This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ عباده المؤمنين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإنك لتلقى القرآن من لدن حكيم عليم. صدق الله العظيم. In verse number 6 that I just recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ, and surely you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَتُلَقَّ الْقُرْآنِ, you are receiving the Qur'an, مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ عَلِيمٍ, from the being that is all-wise and all-knowing. So in the opening verses, Allah reminded us that it is a clear book, and these are the verses of the Qur'an. In verse number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveys to us the supremacy, understanding that this is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When something comes from someone of significance and importance, it elevates that particular gift that has been given or that message that has been transmitted. There is a narration where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given someone a date. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given someone a date, and he said, Subhanallah, تمرة من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, a date from the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, I will treasure it, I will value it, this has sentimental value. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم made dua for him, and of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave him a lot of barakah and blessings. So وإنك لتلقى القرآن, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, you are receiving the Quran from Allah, من لدن, you know, Don't let the opposition of the disbelievers hurt your emotions. The Quran is absolute. It is impeccable. It is flawless. It is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just have a flash of a hadith that appears on the strength of Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, the famous hadith, where he says that a Jewish rabbi came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَيُّ الْبِقَاعِ خَيْرِ, which is the noblest piece of land and which is the worst piece of land? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَسْكُتُ حَتَّى يَجِيءَ Jibril. I don't know, and I will wait till Jibril alayhi salam comes. And when Jibril alayhi salam came, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed the question to him and asked him, Jibril, I was asked this question, which is the noblest piece of land? And Jibril alayhi salam said, مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ, that just as you don't know, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I do not know. But I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then subsequently, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam returned at some point, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, danautu min Allahi dunuwan ma danautu minhu qattu. I was blessed with such proximity. And here proximity doesn't mean in location, because the narration goes on to say, kana bayni wa baynahu sab'una alf hijab min nur, that between me and Allah there were 70,000 veils of light, celestial light. And the commentators say that this is not for tahdeed, but it is for takthir. It's not there to indicate literally 70,000, meaning countless amount of nur and light and barakat and, you know, celestial light. So it refers to proximity in station, proximity in station. مَدَنَوْتُ مِنْهُ قَطُّ, I never enjoyed such proximity in station, in rank to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala previously. So we're not saying location, we're saying in station. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ, those that are by Allah, meaning the angels. By Allah means in station, not in location. So this is key, this is academic, this is very important. And is mentioned in Madarik al-Tanzil. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ, those meaning the malaika that are by Allah meaning in rank, in position. مَنْزِلَةً لَا مَنْزِلَةً, مَنْزِلَةً لَا مَنْزِلَةً, not in physical place, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wara'ul wara, beyond our comprehension. We do not visualize an image for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor a location for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so Jibreel alayhi salam says, danautu min Allahi dunuwan ma danautu minhu qattu. I was blessed with such proximity that I never enjoyed it before. And the commentators write, commenting on this hadith, وَلَعَلَّ زِيَادَةَ تَقَرُّبِهِ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَرَّةِ لِتَعْظِيمِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَقَدْ يَزِيدُ الْمُحِبُّ فِي إِحْتِرَامِ رَسُولِ الْحَبِيبِ لِأَجْلِ الْحَبِيبِ. لا إله إلا الله. The reason why Jibreel was received with additional elevation in position on this particular instance is because Jibreel alayhi salam represented being the envoy and the messenger of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and a person would give regard to the envoy of his beloved. Somebody comes to you, your surgery or your practice or your workshop or your consulting rooms, and you know, you don't know who he is. You say, yeah, just take a seat. You know what, the secretary will take down your details. And then the secretary informs you that, you know what, the gentleman has been referred to by so-and-so, who is your good friend. And immediately things just change. Oh, no, usher him in, usher him in. Well, وَقَدْ يَزِيدُ الْمُحِبُّ فِي إِحْتِرَامِ رَسُولِ الْحَبِيبِ لِأَجْلِ الْحَبِيبِ. Because now you are a messenger and you've been sent by someone who is very dear to me. Anyway, I was saying to you in verse number 6, of chapter 27, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ لَتُلَقَّ الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ عَلِيمٍ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are receiving the Quran from that being who's all wise, all knowing, right? Like how comforting, how soothing. And whenever they oppose you, وَلَا يَأْتُونَكَ بِمَثَلٍ إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَأْتُونَكَ بِمَثَلٍ إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ. Whenever they blurt their nonsense and their opposition and their blasphemous comments and remarks, then we present the clear-cut truth to you. So they object on it and they say, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ حَصَبُ جَهَنَّمُ. Allah says in chapter 17, in Surah Anbiya, in Juz 17, that those who you worship besides Allah will become the fuel of hell. So they said, oh, so those that are worshipped besides Allah will go to hell. So that means Isa alayhi salam, according to your Quran, will also go to hell. Wal-iyadu billah. This is what they said. Now there's two answers to this here. If you look into the Arabic grammar, the Quran says ta'buduna. The Quran uses the word ma, and ma is used for ghair dhawil uqul. Ghair dhawil uqul means non-living creatures. Here it refers to all objects and items, and not humans. And besides that, in the verse following, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَى إِنَّ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَى أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبْعَدُونَ. Those for whom we have decreed goodness, they will be kept far away from hell. And Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that Isa alayhi salam was amongst the selected, beloved, noble, chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is comfort for you. Okay, verse number 7, we commence with the first story that we're going to be discussing in this chapter. So there are a few stories, and that is why I selected this chapter as well, because generally people like to relate to a story and a tale and a narrative. So the Quran doesn't base itself on storytelling, but yes, it does share different stories to drive the message of guidance and the lessons that learn thereof. And the story we start off with in this chapter, which is very brief, is the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, something we had discussed previously in other chapters of the Quran, in particular in chapter 20 in Surah Taha. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to us in verse number 7? إِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِأَهْلِهِ إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارًا. Remember the time when Musa was returning with his wife from Madian, his father-in-law being Shu'ayb alayhi salam, and she was close to delivery, as expounded by the commentators. Is when, verse number 7, قَالَ, he said, Musa, لِأَهْلِهِ, to his family, إِنِّي, verily I, آنَسْتُ أَبْصَرْتُ, at a distance I've seen fire. إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارًا لَعَلِّي آتِيكُم مِّنْهَا بِخَبَرٍ أَوْ بِشِهَابٍ. Perhaps I go there and I get some information on the sense of direction, O Shihabin, or I bring a live ember. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَسْطَلُونَ, so that you can warm yourself up. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَسْتَدْفِئُونَ, as the scholars say. So let's just jog your memory slightly and just get onto one page here that we follow in. We know Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had to flee Egypt due to the circumstances that prevailed. He assisted an individual who was a victim of oppression, and in assisting him, he tried to discipline the guilty party, and he gave him a blow, but the blow was fatal, and he did not intend to floor him, and he did not intend it to be lethal, but it proved to be lethal, and it proved to be, you know, a blow that was absolutely fatal. فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. And then, of course, there was a warrant of arrest against him. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah for forgiveness, asked Allah for pardon, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardoned him. خَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ. He then had to leave in the cover of night, watchful over the intelligence of Pharaoh. وَلَهُمْ عُيُونُ الْغُرَابُ وَشَمَّةُ النَّمْلِ. And of course, the intelligence of Pharaoh had the eyes of a crow, and they had the smelling sense of an ant, meaning that they were really aggressive and intense in their search for Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And of course, he traveled until he came to Madian, and then there he assisted the two girls, and we've discussed this in detail in Surah Qasas as well, in chapter 28, in which it features. And then he marries the daughter of Shu'ayb alayhi salam, and now he's coming back, and that's precisely the point to which the Quran communicates the discussion here. So remember the time, verse number 7 out of chapter 27, out of the 93 verses. إِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِأَهْلِ, when Musa alayhi salam said to his family, إِنِّي أَنَسْتُ نَارًا, I've seen fire. So the verse suggests to us two things. Number one, that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam had lost the direction of the pathway. Had lost the direction of the pathway. And number two, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَسْطَلُونَ, I'm going to bring a flame, a live ember, so that you can warm yourself up. So that is suggestive of the fact that it was a cold night. It was a cold night. And of course, the spouse and the consort of the Nabi being in confinement, you know, requiring that added care and love and affection, etc. So there are many things we reflect over here. Number one, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam in the verse of the Quran refers to his wife as household, and not when Musa said to his wife. Although the scholars have given different names regarding the daughters of Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, Safura and Safira, etc. But the verse of the Quran says he said to his household, which was a modest expression without divulging the name of his spouse. So that's a reflection. You don't have to mention the name of your wife to a strange person, or even in a general discussion, or that of your daughter. So ghayrat is something good. Ghayra is a sense of protection over the female members. But we need to say and qualify this here, because I deal with it a lot. Insecurity is not healthy. So protection is good, but insecurity is dangerous. You need to be protective over your spouse. She needs to be protective over you, because you are contracted in marriage and you are loyal to each other. But insecurity is not good. Where you, every few minutes, having to video call each other with who are you, where are you. Insecure. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. إن بعض الظن إثم. And of course, the youth is the worst of it all. The cuckold person, as the hadith says, الذي يدخل على أهله الرجال. That he will not enter Jannah. Who is a dayuth? Who is a cuckold person? O Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one who's casual with his female members. Oh no, there's my wife. You can meet, greet. That's my daughter. That's my sister. That's my niece. Yeah, chat, chat, gossip, easy going. Anyone, everyone, hugging, embracing, friendly, one big family, and that's it. No. So it is important to be protective, but at the same time, not to be insecure. Anyway, so the first reflection here we take is ahl. A modest reflection without an explicit mention of the name. We also learn and look at the respect Islam affords to to a woman, to a spouse, to a partner, to your better half. In chapter 20, in Surah Taha, he said, فَقَالَ لِأَهْلِهِمْ كُثُوا. Pause here. Now the word umkuthu is in a plural context. And likewise, in this verse here, verse 7, he said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَسْطَلُونَ. I'm going to try and bring something from there, a live ember, so you can warm yourself. Basic Arabic will indicate to you that the word umkuthu in Surah Taha is addressing his wife in a plural form. And here in Surah Naml, is saying, I'm going to bring some live ember so you people can warm yourself. Now, look at the beauty and how they dissect. What was the wisdom of the adoption of a plural expression when speaking to one? Subhanallah, the scholars say it is to denote respect. Speaking to your spouse, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he would ask his spouses, he would say, هَلْ عِنْدَكُمْ مِنْ طَعَامٍ. Is there any food? عِنْدَكُمْ, right? In a plural forms, he would refer to his spouses, his consort in a plural form. In English, probably we use the word same, you know, you for your dad and you for your son and you for a senior. But in Urdu, you would say tu and aap. I mean, I'm not too familiar with Afrikaans, but the little that I know, you're going to say e for parents. As you praat met your ouer, say e. You can't say yay. There's a difference. There's a distinction in the communication. And how often it is the lack of that respectful expressions that unfortunately, you know what, breaks down the marriage. The way he spoke to me, his body language, the expression of words. I've heard so many times, you know, in marital conflicts, the sister saying, I'm on the receiving end of such vulgar language. If he can only talk with respect, or vice versa. You know, sometimes the man would say, when she opens her mouth, it's just like a barrage. And it just comes like a ton of bricks firing down. So here we learn in verse number 7, respect. Use good, dignified language when speaking. When Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu was salam embarked on this journey of his to meet Khidr or Khadir, pronounced both ways, at the confluence of the two oceans, and with him he took his servant. And the servant was Yusha' bin Nun. But the Quran didn't refer to the servant as a servant. The Quran referred to the servant as a young man, a young lad. Tell someone, hey, young man, a talented man, a muscular, a healthy person. Telling him, hey, boy, hey, hey, child, hey, come here. It's derogatory. It's hurting to the self-esteem of that person. But dignify him with a respectful term. So that's the takeaway point here. Speak to your spouses with dignity. The second thing we learn here is that let me get a flame so that you can warm yourself. How cognizant and how considerate are we of the needs and the emotions and the desires of those around us? So we know the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha says that he would get up to perform salah, inta'ala ruwaydan, ajafa ruwaydan. He would get up softly, discreetly, gently, politely. He would tiptoe in a way that it does not disturb my sleep in any way. He's going to engage in prayer, converse with his Lord, but cognizant that my spouse is resting and sleeping. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those people who are considerate to the needs of those around us. I'll leave you with this verse. وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. And do not forget and omit common courtesy amongst yourselves. وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.